This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, there it is, Monday. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, back after a long weekend. Johnny Lupinacci, man, we are glad to have you back, you know, out there.
Yeah, on the road, but technically in the air, but you know, I'm back in the saddle, so couldn't be happier to start the week off. Man, what a week.
What a week ahead of us. But I tell you, what's most important is to see you there with your gear. In tech, because you were bringing your gear and it was lost in flight, and we were like, "What is Johnny?"
Wasn't lost. It's never arrived at the same. I to be fair to the airlines, I hit a number of cities in a short amount of time, and so once it fell behind, it just kept traveling and missing me. And okay. Then it was here when I landed back in Washington, and you know, I got off the plane and went and picked my gear that never quite made it to me, but beat me home.
Nice.
And so I picked it up, and yeah, I'm all back in the home studio. And
if people are watching on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, you can see Johnny's got his mic, he's got his headphones, he's looking good. Johnny, you know what's great though?
Well,
come on,
if we're on the same page, I'm thinking, man, wouldn't it be nice if you and I could just head down and have a brew. Company Busted Pencils is sponsored by the Monaco Brewing Company. Those guys are big time advocates for public education. They're always working hard to build community and make great beer. You know what, Tim? What's funny about them is they brag they're the most sued brewery in America for good reasons, because they're taking on some big giants. But the Monaco Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out monacobrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer.
Ah, there you go. Man, that's exactly why it's great. Monaco Brewing Company. But Busted Pencils, I tell you, Johnny, it was a week last week. You know, we ended with, I just go with the end, you know, Louisiana put in the Ten Commandments. Had to talk about that. But the other really big news, CNN last week dropped a major story. They did the research. It was finally about time to see this in the mainstream media. But looking at, we talk about this show. In fact, Minocqua Brewing Company, yeah, they went after the vouchers in Wisconsin. But in Arizona, a full expose of the voucher program in there, and then really got to, though, talk to an expert finally, not a journalist who tries to act like they understand education. Truly went to Save Our Schools and got this person. She has 12 years experience teaching elementary and middle school. She's a seasoned expert in K-12 education policy. She's also a dedicated mom and a passionate advocate, and she is the director, founder of SOS Save Our Schools Arizona. Welcome to Busted Pencils, Save Our Schools Arizona. Beth Lewis, how are you doing, Beth?
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me. I'm great. Coming to you from hot Arizona.
Yeah, we were talking about that. It's a little bit, you know, unseasonably or weirdly hot, because it's kind of like, for a lot of us outside of Arizona, it's like, well, it's always hot there, Beth. What do you mean it's hot?
It's hot, but it's humid. I don't know how y'all do it. The dry heat thing is real and it works. And it's not working out for us.
So Beth, before we get into this, you know, the vouchers, what's happening in Arizona, Save Our Schools Arizona. Talk a little bit about where Save Our Schools Arizona came, how it got founded. You give us some mechanics, what's happening with the organization.
Yeah, thanks. So we started in 2017. We were just moms and teachers that were going down to the Capitol after Trump got elected, trying to figure out what on earth was going on with classroom funding. And, you know, why was this lady, Betsy DeVos, becoming Secretary of Education? And lo and behold, they dropped a universal voucher bill in our legislature. And we got to watch sort of like the crazy political shenanigans that went down. And so we sat around a kitchen table and we're like, what are we going to do about this? Like, this will destroy our public schools. And so we did a referendum. We had to collect 110,000 signatures in 3 months in the Arizona heat. And everybody was like, oh, there's no way you could do this. You guys have no political experience. You know, you're just a bunch of moms. Like, well, watch us. And we did put it on the ballot in 2018. voters rejected it 2-1. They absolutely stomped on that referendum. You know, vouchers never win when they're on the ballot. And that was true in Arizona. And then we kind of formalized and we said, well, we did this thing, but the voucher pushers aren't going to stop. So we can't stop either. And sure enough, they came back. Every single year they tried to push, you know, more and more expansions. And then in 2022, they did the ultimate, you know, universal voucher expansion, the first and least accountable, most expansive in the entire country. And now we all have to sit here and deal with the devastating impacts of that decision.
Well, and that's the history there too, is save our schools. And this, you know, what I like though too, is what you talked about here, Beth. It's, you know, a bunch of people, it's like a bunch of moms, but you're the, you know, not the Moms for Liberty. And I love Save Our Schools finally getting some media exposure because of the hard work that you guys are doing. And people are sitting there going, SOS, maybe there's one in my state. There very well may be. In fact, look across. It was, you know, the early to the Save Our Schools. Some people are going, I remember in 2011 or 12 when Matt Damon spoke in Washington, D.C. Yeah, that was kind of the origins of grassroots, truly grassroots parents, students, teachers, activists getting together and saying, save our schools. Because Beth, you highlighted very much what you knew in 2017 was they were coming for public education as we know it, whether it's in the vouchers. And so, yeah, if you're out there listening going, see if there is a Save Our Schools, but get this movement, because I was really looking forward to having you on, Beth, because I think the Save Our Schools movement needs to be reignited across this country. And so when you're talking about the voucher expansion into Arizona, we know the expansion in Wisconsin. We know the expansion in Ohio. We know the expansion in Florida. It's expanding everywhere. And so thank you for the hard work, first of all, that you and Save Our Schools Arizona is doing out there.
Oh, thanks for the thanks. It's exhausting, but it is so worth it. I know you all, well, you, Tim, are in Wisconsin. We work with the amazing folks at the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We are not all affiliated under the name Save Our Schools, but there are organizations like ours and Wisconsin Penn in every single state. And I'm happy to connect you. So just reach out on Twitter, whatever your social media is, and get you connected, because you're right, Tim.
Yeah, it's good because the movement, yeah, because it's just going to continue. And as you say, as they point out really in the CNN here is that the unaccountable, but then, you know, the vouchers, let's do this. So we have to always do this. Vouchers 101 in Arizona. What are they? How do they work? And why is Save Our Schools Arizona saying no vouchers?
Yeah, so a voucher is basically, you know, just the government handing over $7,000 to $40,000 on a debit card or in an account for anybody to use basically however they wish with very few guardrails in Arizona, which I know sounds bananas, but it's really true. So folks can use it for anything that's deemed educational by our totally wackadoodle Department of Education run by a superintendent who really doesn't believe in public schools. And so a lot of folks who are using the voucher are people who always chose private school. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. But now they're taking this huge amount of money that our state cannot afford and nobody budgeted for. There are also a lot of folks that are using it to homeschool. Most folks will tell you it does not cost $7,000 per child to homeschool. And so there's tons of waste in the system. And you can even see all of these Facebook posts of parents saying, I don't even know how to spend all of this money, you know, like crowdsourcing ideas of like, I have all this extra money. What could I do with it? And so they're coming up with like, you know, kayaks and bounce houses and water park admission. And the Department of Education is just greenlighting all of this. We just had a report last week that said that they were buying, there was an $1,800 collectible Star Wars Lego set.
I was gonna say that Arizona's the news story with people buying like Johnny the ultra ultimate Lego sets, you know, like with a Millennium Falcon you can actually take between planets once you build it. You know, it's fully got the work. Yeah, I mean thousands of dollars, you know, unaccountable. But you know, Johnny, when we've talked about that, we kind of hinted that in Florida there was some noise about some of the vouchers being used on Disney trips in you know, things like that. But the reality now, though, is Beth, these aren't fake stories. This is what's happening, because the money, if I'm a person, what you're saying is, and so I potentially homeschool my kids, and I'm like, wait a minute, I now have access to upwards of minimum $7,000 that's mine. The state doesn't ask me for receipts to say, how did you spend this the right way? Or there's not guardrails. Or is it just, I make the connection of going, well, it's a bounce house and we're studying the physics of bouncing.
Right. Yeah. They do ask for the receipts, right? And there's a review process, but that's the process, right? Is saying, well, you know, I saw a basketball hoop at a local public school that serves 1,000 kids. So I should get to have a basketball hoop in my front yard for PE for my kid, you know, same with like a piano in every living room. It's just completely washes away the entire idea of public education. And it's actually really fiscally irresponsible and is being pushed by people who champion themselves as, you know, the responsible ones. So yeah, it's open to a ton of grift. We've got private schools that are jacking up their tuition rates because, you know, free enterprise system's going to do what it's going to do. And we also have a lot of subpar strip mall schools that are popping up everywhere. And there's no regulation. There's no safety regulation. So we have no idea if the folks in front of kids are qualified teachers, whether they're teaching qualified curriculum, whether they're teaching that, you know, I don't know, Jesus rode a dinosaur 6,000 years ago. We don't know, but we do know that they're not accredited and they're popping up everywhere. And we even have like micro schools opening in people's garages and nobody knows whether kids are learning next to like power tools.
Our guest is Beth Lewis, Save Our Schools, Arizona. It's Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Yeah, you can give us a call, 855-752-4842. Vouchers in Arizona. CNN did a huge story last week. Beth was featured in that story. You kind of hinted, though, too. I want to ask the question, wait, Jesus and dinosaurs, that didn't happen? Oh, wait, that can be taught. Hey, people in a public school, that's what we want to get into. What are the accountable regulations that go in? Or actually, there aren't very many. And really, this, who's drawing on this unregulated tax money? Who are the people grabbing the vouchers? It's Busted Pencils. It's fully leaded education talk. Give us a call when we get back. It's endless. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Sherry from Horicon. Hey, guys. Hey, Sherry, what's happening? Appreciate that. You too can text in if you're on the Twitter, if you're on the Facebook or the X, if that's what you have to call it nowadays. You know, give us a note or give us a call, 855-752-4842. Our guest, Alan Collins. Yeah, and Alan, he's running for president, too, of the United States. Just, you know, something minor. Head of studentloanjustice.org. Yesterday, Johnny's day was upset because a couple attorneys general who took some modest relief to the saving loan or the student loan disaster, just a little bit of relief that was allocated and some that was about to start here July 1st. No. That, sorry, meanness, anger, hurt, truly trying to harm people. Well, they were successful. Alan, we've been talking about this, and before the break, we're trying to say, help bust the myth of my neighbor who is absolutely convinced that if my son's student loans happen to be forgiven or canceled, that he's going to be stuck with the bill to pay off my son's student loan. Because, and let's make this for the, you know, truly compassionate and understand, because That's what he's being told, and he really believes that. And can you blame somebody who's saying, wait a minute, Slecker, I'm not on the hook for paying off your son's student loan. That's just not fair. I don't, when they say that, they're not wrong to say that's not fair. But we come back and go, but that's not what's happening. You won't pay a dime. How do we get that through to people that my neighbor who truly is just saying he doesn't want to be mean. He just doesn't want to be stuck with paying off student loans that he didn't take out.
Yeah, it's just a pervasive lie. It plays very well with an uneducated audience. It sounds good. It's politically, the Republicans just, it's red meat to them, apparently. But the fact of the matter is the people have paid. The government was never supposed to make a profit on student loans. Today, it makes $100 billion a year in profit. And so when loans are canceled, no money is drawn from the Treasury. The taxpayers don't have to come up with new money from the people to pay for that. It's essentially monopoly money. It's writing off interest. You know, I like to use the analogy of if you buy a $1 lottery ticket, right? You scratch it off. It didn't win the $1 million, but you won a buck back. You won a dollar. So, okay, you broke even. Can you now go when you file your taxes and write that lottery ticket off as a $1 million loss because you didn't win the million? No, you would go to prison for accounting fraud. That is exactly the propaganda that the people making money off of this loan scam are pushing into the zeitgeist. It's a bald-faced lie, easily disproven. But, you know, as I think Mark Twain said, the truth, it can't even get its pants on in the morning before a lie can make it halfway around the world. And that's exactly what's going on here, guys. It's propaganda. And people out there need to realize that by wagging their finger at student loan borrowers, what they're actually doing is fighting for the Department of Education, the colleges, which most conservatives don't like either of those two entities, and the most unconstitutional loan scam in U.S. history.
Well, and I think about it too, Alan. I love the way you put it, because for our listener out there thinking about this, and you know, if this is the first time you've heard this perspective where you're like, this is a bold-faced lie, you know, this isn't, it isn't taking money out of your pocket. I'll even put out there, you know, I've been in conversations with people that aha moment actually means, and the numbers are large, that we're talking about a lot of people who are straddled with student loan debt. And it's not like they're trying to get out of paying back, but like Alan, you pointed out, it's excess accrued interests. It's many times 4 or 5 times over the amount borrowed, you know, and imagine, say you have a $900 a month student loan payment. Imagine now, where's that? Like, if we got rid of like the student loan debt, if we just said, you know what, we're going to really rein this in, even cut that in half for people or eliminate it completely. Imagine where that money goes. It could go right into our local economies. And so if you, like, say you own a dealership, or you are, you know, restaurant owner, or you are the manager at the movie theater, you all of a sudden know that locally there is a surplus of money that is now available for, you know, exchange in the local market. And so it is actually not taking money out of your pocket, but potentially putting it into your pockets, because what you have is you have everybody who's straddled with this debt spread so thin that they're not, say, spending on extras, right? So they're not, so those entertainment industries and those different things aren't seeing the sustainability economically that we might like, say, in small business or in those kinds of ways. So to me, it's always like a logic thing too. It's like, hey, there are a number of ways to understand this. And I like Tim's too, where say like, hey man, it's just thinking about whether it's fair or not. Okay, that's an argument. Like, I love morals and ethics, and I like thinking that people, you know, want everyone to suffer less. But sometimes I give up on that. So I'm in the logics of an instrumental argument. You want your money. Here's where your money is tied up right now. You want that money freed up and flowing? Help us free it up. Because if that debt goes away, I know with certainty that the people who are straddled in that debt will be spending. There's an erasure of the middle class in this sense.
Yes. You know, I couldn't have said it better myself. I will only give you one or two examples. Let's look at the state of Missouri, shall we?
Mohila,
Andrew Bailey, Attorney General. He successfully stopped cancellation. State of Missouri, the people, first of all, the entire state budget of Missouri, that's a big number, is $25 billion. Mm-hmm. The people of Missouri owe the Department of Education $31 billion. This is interest alone. This is $2 billion in interest being created out of thin air by the Department of Education every year and put on the backs of Missouri student loan borrowers and essentially being sucked out of the state. I mean, think about that. And, you know, we could talk about Texas, $120 billion. That's $8 billion being sucked out of state and sent to the Department of Education every year. Now, most conservatives that I know, they're not big fans of the Department of Education. They want to close it down. They're not big fans of the college. But here we have this just asinine situation, just ridiculous situation where Joe Plumber and Pete the Plumber, Joe the janitor, they're all up in arms and wagging their finger at the borrower saying, you need to pay your loans. It's not the taxpayer. It's just, you know, I don't want to call people feeble-minded.
Then don't.
People, no, I shouldn't. And I won't. But people get sucked in by these very easy to digest messages.
It's a passionate issue. And as I said, people get a sense of fairness. And if that bone is tickled that they're being cheated, they're going to rebel. And that's what they hear. Alan Collins, our guest, studentloanjustice.org. Man, Mohila, student loan forgiveness, save program. Whole bunches of stuff going on. Busted Pencils. Give us a call when we get back, though. Ask your questions more. 855-752-4842. See you in a minute. We sing your songs for more. You know that song one way or another. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. What an appropriate song for tonight, one way or another. Sam Todd is going to become a teacher. She's at Western Michigan University, currently full-time bus driver for the school, studying to become a teacher. How does that happen? There's a Grow Your Own program in the state of Michigan, not just Western Michigan, but the state of Michigan said, hey, we're serious about finding great teachers for this teacher shortage. We know they're out there. They just didn't have the access. They just didn't have the curriculum, the ability. Let's put together a program that reduces, and in this case, eliminates the need for tuition, reduces and or eliminates kind of old traditional face-to-face curriculum and says, hey, you can still continue to keep your job tuition-free and study after school. Doesn't mean skimping, as you pointed out, Johnny. In fact, I look continually at the Grow Your Own students and think they are the hardest working people ever, which is why, though, these programs make sense. When you sit there and go, guess what? We know we can solve this teacher shortage. We have got great people all over our school districts who are wanting to become teachers, but need the access to becoming teachers. So yeah, we're great to have Sam Todd on. Number is 855-752-4842. Do want to remind people though to stay tuned after Busted Pencils tonight, because yeah, we had a long intro into this, but the presidential debate tonight, Terry Bell and host Todd Albaugh, they're going to start coverage 30 minutes before. So just stay on, just listen. You get that crazy show as we're going on. So Sam Todd, so you got, just like all the school employees got an email announcing this program. Are you in like a cohort then, or are there other people that are working in your district, you know, that are going through this in different pathways? I mean, tell us a little bit about your classmates.
So I do know that there's at least I want to say 4 or 5 other people within the school district that are going through this. And we're all doing obviously different majors and minors. But most of them work in an actual school. Like 3 of them work at the daycare that we have. Mm-hmm. And then one of our bus aides actually is going through the program as well. So it's kind of nice to be able to actually have classmates nearby that you can see face to face to ask questions about.
So you do have the ability then, these cohort people, you said face to face, so you guys can get together and kind of support each other.
Yeah, like today when I took for my charter that I did, where I took daycare to the fish hatchery, the lead teacher at the daycare is one of my classmates, so I was able to talk to her about school. It was quite nice.
Johnny, think of that, right? That's so cool.
I love it. And it matches the actual name of this program that Sam's talking about, Grow Your Own. Like, it's saying, hey, we have folks locally who are working in the, you know, close to education. They're around each other. We talk all the time on Bus and Pencils, Tim, about teachers teaching teachers and how we learn to teach better by being in conversation with other teachers. And that extends out to other educators, people who are close to the children's learning and caring about it. So it sounds perfect. It sounds like a really great thing. And man, I just love hearing this because, like we said, Tim, there is a teacher exodus. There is a shortage of people who can sustain their career in the classroom or for one reason or another. And we know a lot of those contributing factors, but we also know there are really great people. And one of the reasons that there aren't as many teachers in our district as we'd like is because there's a lot of barriers to them becoming teachers. So this removing those barriers and working with folks in the district is huge. I think it's really great to hear about. Sam, appreciate that you're doing it and here sharing that with us. Mm.
Yeah, Sam, so, you know, as we're through this now, tell me a little, like, okay, so what are you when you're done? Will your license, your certification be in to teach?
Honestly, I don't remember. it's been so long and had so many classes that I've gone through that I don't remember.
So you'll be looking though, like to teach elementary school students, do you think? Or
yeah, I want to think that I picked K through 3rd grade, early elementary.
Okay.
Just because for me, I can't deal with older kids because the older they are, the worse the attitude.
Well, you have that experience then too from bus driving. Yeah, Sam, you know, think about that. Great question. Johnny, when you think of, you know, again, when you were becoming a teacher, well, hey, actually you gave people a hint, Michigan. You were a Michigan graduate. You went to school in Michigan too.
Eastern Michigan, because you don't want to confuse people with the University of Michigan.
Right.
That's a different ball game. But yeah, I went to Eastern Michigan. I became a teacher in Michigan, started my teaching career, did bulk of my, you know, classroom time in Michigan. Yeah.
Oh. Loving the, you know, thinking right now. So Tennessee, Michigan, actually to the National Center for Grow Your Own, put it out there. There's now 30 states in the country right now that are pushing Grow Your Own programs. So if you're listening to Busted Pencils right now and going, wow, this sounds like a great program. Yeah, you want to know more about it. So contact the people at Western Michigan. See who are there. They're there because this really is, you know, if you're sitting there going, I know somebody, you know, out there who's really looking to become a teacher, this could be their program.
Well, there it is. As sure as the bell rings true, Tim. You know what that means? Democracy in action. I mean, I couldn't hold back to call for the bell because what you were just talking about, what Sam is sharing, you know, state legislators and universities and people who are preparing teachers working together to restore one, that teaching is a blue collar profession. It is working class. It is about the labor force and finding ways for people through like apprenticeship models, through Grow Your Own, through these kinds of ways that we can fund
people close to education being part of formal education. I mean, it doesn't get more democratic than that. And I'm not talking about the Democrat Party. I'm talking about democracy, decisions being made by those directly impacted by the decisions being made. It's local, right? And so when I see this and hear this, wow, Sam's local support for her to be an educator who's from that community, who's learned to be a teacher in that community. It's investing in our own. It strengthens grassroots. It's in every way democracy in action.
Sam, how about that? Did you know you were participating in a form of democracy by doing this?
A little bit.
Well, it, absolutely, a lot of bit. I mean, you know, the whole idea of a citizen really answering the call, and the reality is that schools need teachers too. And Sam, you know, Johnny and I talk about this. You are, you know, you're going to end up becoming a public school teacher. And public school teachers, yes, you have to teach reading. Yes, you have to teach math. But we have to here to remind you, Sam, the number one thing you're doing, you're working with future citizens, future community members, future people who are going to be driving that bus, who are doing the engineering. Your job is preparing the future of democracy. And so, yeah, Johnny, democracy in action, grow your own Western Michigan, Sam Todd. What a great example of democracy in action. Is absolutely powerful. Sam, so what was your, let's just do this. So what was your most interesting class that you took this past semester?
This past semester, I'd have to say the class where I had to do 10 hours of work experience.
Okay, you mean actually going out into classrooms and seeing what's going on?
Yeah, that was a lot.
Wow. And again, anybody watching on the Twitter, watching on X, watching on the Facebook, you can see again what Sam, you know, you're getting some visitor there. Love it. So don't worry about that, Sam. That's great. It makes it real so that people understand. Yes, she is a working mom. She is out there and she's doing everything, you know, stepping up to become a teacher at Western Michigan University. It's a grow your own program. And, you know, again, kudos to Johnny, kudos to the legislators and the governor in Wisconsin, because, you know, we had the opportunity to talk to Julian Vasquez Heilig, the provost, and Laura Deinhardt, the dean. And they said, you know, look, they had a governor and a legislature that said we need to look at the teacher shortage and realize that if we provide access in the form of funding, in the form of curriculum, so stepping up and doing that. So, Sam, are you then with this program, people might want to be asking the question. So it's summer break. Are you on summer break or do you continue to take classes during the summer?
So I had an option to choose to either take a full break or to do extra classes over the summer. That way, when I go back in the fall, I don't have as many to do, or further down the road, I won't have as many to do. So summer one, I just finished 3 classes, and then summer 2, which starts next Thursday, I only have 1 class, thankfully. So okay, it's not too much.
But you are continuing to continue working through the summer on working on your degree. Now, does the bus driving slow down in the summer?
So yes.
Okay.
Thank goodness. Currently am driving. I do charters throughout the summer, and I also sub. Like the route that I'm currently doing, one of our drivers took a leave of absence for a month. So I'm covering her route for her until she gets back. And sometimes there's summer school, but it's not much to it if there is summer school.
I wonder about this. So Sam, how's the family with you making this decision? Is there support? I mean, tell us a little bit about that. I know you said grandma's there helping you tonight right now do this interview.
Yeah. So there's a lot of support. So if I do have synchronous classes where I have to get on at night, my mother-in-law will take him for me so that he doesn't interrupt like he just did, so I can fully focus. Or my husband will take him, but it's just hard because he also works a second right. job at night. He works from home. He's a mechanic, so he's a lot of times not in the garage. There's also been a couple times where I've had to have he spent the night at my sister's house so that I can actually get, if I'm like behind on schoolwork or something, my 2-year-old will go stay with my sister. So I've got quite a bit of support from everybody.
Nice. Well, I think that though too is what we hear about that. And then again, to emphasize the faculty and the Western Michigan people also providing the needed support. Do you have like an advisor you work with on a regular basis?
Yeah. So there's a couple advisors. We do have one from the school ourselves. And I've emailed her a bunch of times. I'm out here a bunch of times when I've had issues with classes or just issues in general, trying to keep my grade up. Mm-hmm. And then through Parchment itself, we have our own, I guess you would call her an advisor, where we can go to her if it's something simple that needs to be fixed or if something's not getting fixed as soon as it needs to be. She can kind of give them a little umph, like, hey, she's struggling with this. She needs a little help. So it's quite nice.
Well, Sam Todd, what we say here, grow your own student, Western Michigan, bus driver to teacher. You are truly busting pencils. Sam, thank you for your time tonight.
Well, thank you. It was cool. It was awesome being on here.
But you're awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Johnny and Tim, when we get back, we'll break it down. Boy, that was the theme song of all three of us, I think. Busted Pencils.
Oh, yeah.
Educated Educators. Teenage Anarchists. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Tim Slecker, and Jonathan Gurko, the Association of College and University Educators, AQ. Got you laughing there a little bit, Jonathan, on that. You weren't a teenage anarchist. Okay. Well, Johnny and I will hold that title. We'll keep working around with it. We're doing that. So Jonathan, you know, there we go.
It's coming in.
Couldn't get enough Encore. Of it. Yeah, couldn't get enough of it. You know, we're talking so much great going on with AQ, the whole idea of elevating college teaching to a movement to say, we've got a lot of, you know, people out there we can serve so well. When you put this together, though, too, there's AQ's Effective Teaching Practice Framework, and you talk about student persistence and retention in higher education, and I think those are so key to talking about the kind of anger and distrust towards higher education. If students just persisted longer and graduated more often, and the connection to then AQ's Effective Teaching Practice Framework, how does that all work together?
Yeah, so the framework itself is 25 core competencies, is steeped in the literature, backed by hundreds of citations and a decades-long scholarship of teaching and learning literature. So we know these are the right practices to help professors develop. We have also spent years studying our own impact. What is the impact of AQ-certified professors? It's one thing to rest on the existing literature. It's another to be able to point to it ourselves. And guess what? Great teaching works. We have rigorous longitudinal studies showing deeper learning, better grades, higher rates of course completion, fewer D and F grades and withdrawals, higher retention into subsequent semesters. And as soon as you got a retention figure, what we've done is be able to compute conservative return on investment. So invest in your professors, invest in teaching, and guess what? It advances your mission, teaching and learning. It's also good for your economics of your institution. But here's the rub, guys. It can't all be on the professors. If you're listening and you're a professor, it's got to be an administrator, a provost, a vice president of faculty affairs who says, this has to be a strategic initiative, A, because it's the right thing to do, B, because we're going to see all of these good benefits as confirmed in the research, meta-analyses we've done of all of our research. And so, like you saw last week, Tim, at the conference, this is about activating champions who have agency to voice the need for this with their department chair, their dean, to make the formal time for it, to reward it, to recognize it. Otherwise, we're still in that situation of, I want to do this, I should do this, but everything is pulling me in the direction of research. That's not going to be transformative, which is why administrators are so key to growing this issue.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jonathan, I think about question.
Yeah, Johnny, go.
Yeah, man, I'm interested in this. I mean, I'm a, you know, and even with being an educator, my, you know, there's always improvement, especially looking at, you know, how millennials and Zers, you know, learn, and it's different even than we had in the past, you know, engagement from our students. And so being a learner that leads learners is always a good thing. Nuts and bolts, Jonathan. So like, what kind of, how much, like, if I talk to my peers or even myself, how much time and what, like, what's the process here for us to think?
So there's like, different, there's
learning
different pathways. If you want to take a nibble, if you want to get certified, if you want to take your time, there are the self-paced courses, what we call short courses, like Tim took on AI. You can begin an 8-week experience. Those 8-week experiences stack up to full certification. We have some provosts and presidents enrolling their faculty in year-long certification courses. What you can do, Johnny, is help decrease the fear of faculty. A lot of presidents and provosts are afraid to touch this as some third rail, but guess what? Professors want to be better teachers. So let's just bust that myth here on Busted Pencils and start professors the support they want that, guess what, works really well for students.
Yeah, that's awesome, Jonathan. I love it, man. You know what else, Tim, I love? And we'll get back to this because, Jonathan, I want to be able to have our listeners have an opportunity to know, again, where they can find this information, because I know I'm interested, but I have a direct line to you and our listeners. You got a direct line to Jonathan, too. You can either contact us at Busted Pencils, you can call in, or you can go to the ACU website.
www.acue.org. acue.org. That's where it all
starts. You know
what?
This isn't even like a planned infomercial. This is educated educators here thinking like, you know, my wheels are spinning. I'm like, man, there's always room to be a better teacher, right? And so where can I learn to be a better teacher? And, you know, I can go to ACU, and that's really great. I can also go grab a beer at Monocle Brewing Company if I'm in Madison. Or if I'm not in Madison, I can visit, you know, progressivebeer.com and get a Monocle Brew. I can order it delivered to me unless I live in Idaho. But, you know, there's a way that you could connect with great beer. There's a way you can connect with great learning. There's a way you can tune in every night. Listen to us on Busted Pencils. Join the conversation. You can give us a call, 855-752-4842, and be part of, like Jonathan said, Busting Pencils and busting those myths.
It's, you know, we're building the movement, Jonathan. Man, appreciate you coming in and truly, yeah, busting the pencils, as you said, building the movement. AQ, what's that? Just give that web address one more time.
Sure. It's www.acue, which is the acronym for Association of College and University Educators, acue.org. And there's all different ways to start there. If you're looking as an institutional leader wanting to make an institutional partnership or an individual wanting to get started.
Mm. There it is. Great guest, great conversation. Jonathan Gurko, man, truly. Thanks for busting pencils again. Johnny and Tim, tomorrow night, Educators Amplified. Yeah, we'll be back, Teacher Hallie and Teacher Joanna. Everybody else, have a good night. See you all tomorrow.